Midwest is the latest airline to announce cuts. The NTSB will investigate two incursions at Teterboro. And the FAA just can't win with the New York media. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, July 16th, 2008. Midwest Airlines has become the latest carrier to drastically slash its workforce, announcing plans to reduce employee ranks at Midwest and its Skyway subsidiary by 1,200 jobs. That's 40% of current staffing levels. The majority of the cuts are related to the airline's previously announced decision to remove its 12-plane MD-80 fleet from service this fall, as well as other schedule adjustments to be announced. CEO Tim Hoeksema said, quote, "In order to successfully restructure, there is no way to avoid deep and painful reductions to our current workforce. We'll go about this task with compassion and dignity. Midwest has always been a place where employees take care of one another in times that are good and in times that are hard. Perhaps more than at any other time in our history, we must hold true to this value," unquote. The reductions are spread throughout the airline's in-flight operations, maintenance, and general administrative functions. The effective date of the reductions will vary by job function, but most will take place no later than mid-September. Midwest is also continuing talks with its unions to reduce the airline's cost structure. The National Transportation Safety Board is investigating two runway incursions in as many weeks at New Jersey's Teterboro Airport. On the morning of June 25th, a Learjet landed on a closed runway after receiving permission from controllers to do so. The plane flew over two employees working north of the displaced threshold of runway 19 and landed. ATIS Information Hotel, which was in effect at the time of the incident, did not mention the closure. The second incident occurred the morning of July 9th. A Cessna 172 landed on runway 19 and requested a back taxi for departure. The ground controller told the pilot to use taxiway Lima instead and to hold short of runway 19. But the controller never asked the pilot to hold short of runway 24. And he had crossed the runway edge when the tower cleared a Dassault Falcon 200 for takeoff on 24. The FAA reports the two airplanes came within 1,200 feet. Both preliminary reports are now on the NTSB website. If headlines have any influence on the FAA's public image, the agency has to be frustrated. On Monday, the New York Post ran a story about the agency's efforts to attract younger recruits for air traffic controller openings, including using ads on MySpace and Craigslist. New York has some of the busiest airspace anywhere, and the Post reported the FAA recently offered incentives of up to $100,000 to new controllers coming to the area. That offer, which expired on July 8th, drew 30 new hires, and the FAA succeeded in getting some young candidates. Some had just graduated high school. So how did New York media react? The Post ran a story headlined, quote, "FAA kids are in control. Desperate feds wooing high schoolers," unquote. And that was after USA Today criticized the Post's first headline for the story, which read, quote, "Air panic. FAA woos teen controllers as mid-air crashes loom," unquote. Did Chuck Schumer become a headline writer while nobody was looking? Anyway, as we've come to expect, the National Air Traffic Controllers Association is not impressed with the recruitment effort. Barrett Barnes, who's a union official working at the control tower at JFK, observes, quote, "Bringing in over 30 people isn't a quick fix solution. There's no guarantee anybody will check out and be certified," unquote. He added in one of the weirdest mixed metaphors ever, quote, "Giving new people $100,000 bonuses while the people doing the work day in and day out year after year are getting their brains kicked in is just a slap in the face," unquote. The Boeing 777 freighter had a successful first flight Monday morning. Staying aloft more than 3.5 hours, Boeing says the airplane performed well. The testing equipment on board, not so much. The plane left Payne Field in Everett, Washington about 10 a.m., but flight test data reportedly wasn't reaching the telemetry room at Boeing Field, so the plane couldn't land there. It returned to Payne Field at 1:38 p.m. Boeing says it will identify and fix the problem to resume the flight test program as soon as possible. During Monday's flight, the 777 freighter was flown to 18,000 feet and 270 knots. Those are customary for a first flight. Typically, the 777's cruise altitude is 35,000 feet, and its cruise speed is Mach 0.84. The freighter is designed to fly 4,885 nautical miles with a full payload, making it the world's longest-range twin-engine freighter. Certification from the FAA and EASA are anticipated late this year. Boeing reports 78 firm orders from 11 customers. Up next on ANN, a Middle East leasing company signs for 100 new Airbuses. Nigeria's Eric Air wants 11 new Boeing airliners. And Pat Shanahan says the worst is over for the Dreamliner program. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com. Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. For instance, the noise-canceling microphone used in the Clarity Aloft headset is a high-fidelity, noise-canceling electret condenser microphone with performance optimized for speech frequencies in extremely high-noise environments. Stage performers and musicians use this same microphone because they must insist on the highest level of sound reproduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for July 16th, 2008. I'm Paul Plagg. It's the first really big order to come out of the Farnborough International Air Show. Aircraft lessor DAE Capital signed a firm contract Tuesday for 30 Airbus A350-900s and 70 Airbus A320s. That contract follows a memo of understanding that was signed at the Dubai Air Show last November. DAE Capital intends to become a leading lessor based in the Middle East. Parent company DAE is a fast-developing global aerospace group offering airport development and operations, engineering, manufacturing, and services. DAE signed a similar MOU in Dubai for 100 Boeing planes. That one was finalized earlier this year. In related news, Russia's Aeroflot also announced an order Tuesday for 5 A321s, the largest variant of Airbus's popular family of narrowbodies. Airbus says about 6,200 A320 family planes have been sold to date, with over 3,500 of them delivered. Boeing and Nigeria's Eric Air announced orders yesterday for an additional 7 next-generation 737s at Farnborough. The carrier also said it plans to order 4 747-8 Intercontinentals. That's a needed boost for that Boeing program. As ANN reported, Eric Air ordered 10 737s back in September of last year, and the airline already operates 6 737-700s and has 5 777-300ERs, and another 7 787-9 Dreamliners on order. Till this announcement, the only customer for the passenger version of the 747-8 was Germany's Lufthansa, which has firm orders for 20 planes and another 20 options. But that order was announced in December of 2006, and the lack of any new orders since, with the exception of specialized VIP variants, has led some to question whether Boeing would actually go forward with development. Pat Shanahan, Boeing VP and General Manager of the 787 program, told reporters at Farnborough the company is making steady progress on getting the Dreamliner's global production system up and running. He said that while Boeing's dedicated global partner network has caused delays, getting it working is also a major leap forward. Quote, "My honest assessment is we worked the right priorities, made the right decisions, and have a lot to be proud of," unquote. Shanahan also looked ahead to the fourth quarter of this year. Quote, "Things will really get exciting when we fuel the airplane and start the engines and APU for the first time. After that, we'll move forward into gauntlet testing, which is a series of ground-based tests where we trick the airplane's systems into thinking that it's airborne. Then we'll conduct taxi tests, and the airplane will take to the skies," unquote. He noted the Dreamliner's record-setting sales and added, quote, "The 787 Dreamliner is a fantastic airplane, one that is already changing our industry, meeting customers' needs, and will soon be changing passengers' expectations about flight," unquote. Northrop Grumman Corporation's tanker team announced on Monday that all 4 KC-45A initial tanker system design and development airframes are scheduled for final assembly and initial flight testing by the end of 2009, and that the first two have already been built and flown and are awaiting modification to the tanker configuration. The company used the Farnborough show to highlight the design's development status in contrast to Boeing's KC-767, the plane against which it's competing in a protracted U.S. Air Force contract bidding war. Northrop Grumman VP Paul Meyer emphasized, quote, As we've always said, Northrop Grumman is ready now, and having all four SDD airframes ready next year shows our commitment to the U.S. Air Force, the Department of Defense, and our airmen who are currently forced to fly 50-year-old tankers. While our competitor still has not built the tanker or boom system they offered, our configuration is built, tested, and flying now, and has been selected by four other allied nations. Clearly, our tanker is superior, offering better fuel efficiency, greater fuel offload, and much lower risk. It's won all five competitions against the 767, unquote. The KC-45A is based on the Royal Australian Air Force's KC-30B multi-role tanker transport, which the company reports is on schedule for delivery next year. Still ahead, Go Airlines will charge for your first checked bag. Icon Aircraft announces the first flight of its A5 Amphib. And Lycoming announces a hot new IO360 for home builders. You're listening to Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits. That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, July 16th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. Mesa Air Group's loss leader division, Go Airlines, announced this week that starting August 10th, it will begin charging $10 for the first checked bag on all its inter-island flights around Hawaii to offset the increases in the cost of fuel and, in a very imaginative bit of spin, quote, to give Go passengers more cost-saving options, unquote. The addition of the fee for the first bag will be partially offset by a reduction in the second bag fee from $25 to $17. Jonathan Ornstein, Mesa Air Group chairman and CEO, explains, quote, fuel costs have more than doubled since we first entered the Hawaiian market. We remain committed to providing the best inter-island service at the lowest possible cost and are working to provide options instead of raising overall cost of travel, unquote. The $10 first bag fee takes effect with travel on August 10th. Customers who purchased their tickets prior to July 10th are exempt from the fee, as are car seats, carriers and strollers, wheelchairs, and other personal assistive devices. Upstart light sport aircraft manufacturer Icon Aircraft announced yesterday that the company successfully flew a prototype of its Icon A5 amphibious sport plane on July 9th at an undisclosed lake location in California. Icon engineer and test pilot John Karkow explored the aircraft's performance and characteristics during takeoff, landing, low-speed maneuvering flight, and water operations. Karkow is an experienced test pilot who has flown, among other notable aircraft, the world record-setting Virgin Atlantic Global Flyer, flown by the late Steve Fawcett. Quote, everything went as well as an initial test flight possibly could go, so I was very pleased. The aircraft flew exceptionally well and met or exceeded our design expectations. The A5 seems to be a great aircraft right out of the box, unquote. The full-scale prototype is scheduled to undergo several phases of test flights over the next year before the design enters production as an LSA in late 2010. The Icon A5 is a two-seat sport amphibian and features retractable landing gear for flying off land and water and folding wings that allow the plane to be easily stored and towed on the road with a trailer. It features a lightweight carbon fiber airframe and is powered by a 100-horsepower Rotax 912 ULS, providing an estimated top speed of 120 miles per hour. Estimated price starts at $139,000, with initial deliveries expected late in 2010. The company plans an unveiling at AirVenture. Lycoming Engines launched the latest addition to its Thunderbolt engine line on Monday. The new Signature Series TIO-360 EXP is a non-certified, turbo-normalized, intercooled, fuel-injected gasoline engine, rated at 180 horsepower from sea level to greater than 20,000 feet. The engine is approved for use on 100 low-lead and Lycoming-approved aviation-grade unleaded fuels. The TIO-360 is derived from the FAA-type-certified IO-360 product line, a four-cylinder, direct-drive, horizontally opposed air-cooled engine. In Thunderbolt form, the turbo and intercooler have been optimally packaged to allow the TIO-360 to fit in many of the same places the certified IO-360 model is used. The Lycoming Thunderbolt line was launched in April of 2006 and now ranges from the O235 to the powerful IO-720 8-cylinder. Options include a variety of fuel and ignition systems and performance enhancements, including component balancing, cylinder flow matching, increased compression, tuned induction, and turbocharging. Finishing options include chrome and custom colors. And finally, the U.S. Air Force has no doubt had many unusual cargoes land at Dover Air Force Base in Delaware. Some they no doubt can't talk about. But it's doubtful any are more unusual than what was brought in by a 326th Airlift Squadron aircrew July 11th in the belly of a C-17 Globemaster III. Two giant squids were brought in from Europe to be delivered to the Smithsonian National Museum of Natural History in Washington, D.C. The female preserved specimen, which will become the largest on display in the U.S., measures 24 and a half feet long. The male is 9 feet long. You'll be able to see them starting September 27th, when the Smithsonian opens its new Sand Ocean Hall, an exhibition area designed to support ocean education. None of the aircrew or passengers on the C-17 could actually see the squids, but the long box was labeled with stickers that said, Giant Squids. The specimens were reportedly brought up in deep-sea fishing nets off the coast of northern Spain. Air Force Airman First Class David Strong, one of the four ramp services specialists who moved the creatures, observed modestly, quote, If there's anything that needs to be shipped, we take care of it. There's nothing we can't handle, unquote. Actually, I'm not sure what the big deal is. I mean, the U.S. Navy has been transporting squids around for years. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, I'll talk with Wayne Plucker, an industry manager with Frost & Sullivan's Aerospace and Defense Group, about the effects the U.S. Air Force's KCX controversy could have on European perceptions of the U.S. defense market, and why we should care. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.